back on the No Panic Zone. Good to have you here on the Steve Gruber Show. Listen, you can follow us on Facebook, Steve Gruber Show, on Twitter, on Parler now. Go find me on Parler. Nobody's telling me what I can say or can't say on Parler, which is good news. Instagram, we're there. And, of course, if you miss anything, go to stevegruber.com, including this conversation with Dr. Levin. You can go back and share it with your friends. Pretty good back and forth here, which is why I asked him to continue. And he did. Dr. Levin, I greatly appreciate you continuing on. But in fairness, influenza is a far bigger danger to children and all younger people under 30. This disease doesn't impact young people. 70% of the fatalities in the nation are people over 70. Now, that's not to discount or take away about the lives lost. But if we had done a better job of protecting our senior citizens and long-term care facilities, the death rate thus far could have been cut dramatically. Do you agree with that?
Completely. I think, you know, I studied what they did in Sweden there. They tried to do exactly that. I think we could have done a heck of a lot of a better job in this country than they did in Sweden. In Sweden, you compare it to Denmark, Norway, right around them. What happened in Sweden, they basically said, we're going to protect the old. They didn't. You saw massive deaths in there, multiples of what you saw in Denmark and Norway.
So Hold on, that's true. But Sweden did markedly better than Italy, Spain, France, the UK, Ireland, and I could go on. Their numbers as deaths per million were far superior to those countries that did lock everybody down, that did all the procedures, that forced people to wear masks, and Sweden outperformed all of the countries I just named. So let's be fair about the statistics we use.
The statistics here relate to actually protecting the old in the long-term care facilities. That was really the point, and they didn't do it, period. I think we in the United States, just like you said, if we'd let the medical professionals handle it as they did in the 50s, we would have had a much better response. I'm confident if we thought that through, we could have handled that.
So but let me ask you this.
Is, you are right as well, Steve. You're completely correct. We don't understand this disease with the young. Thank heaven it's affecting them less. That is just terrific.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, going forward. What is worse for people long-term? If we lose, let's say for the sake of argument, 200,000 Americans are dead by the time we get to the end of the year, and that's very conceivable if we stay at 400, 500, 600 deaths per day, about where we are now. If that continues on through the end of 2020, we'll be somewhere around 200,000 deaths, give or take. However, that represents a fraction of 1% of the United States population. Meanwhile, millions of people have lost jobs, they've lost mortgages, they've lost marriages, they've turned to alcohol and drugs, and they're depressed, and we have all of these other mental issue fallout problems that have occurred. What's worse, COVID-19 or the long-term ramifications of the destruction of the United States economy and the world economy?
So what is really worse, Steve, is if we don't learn from this. Each one of those dead people is a treasure to somebody. And if we don't learn how to never have 200,000, how to not even have one, then we're in trouble.
Well, let me jump in. And you know, I saw a headline in Michigan. It's been 2 or 3 months ago now, that a woman had died from COVID at the age of 107. I'm sorry, but that's, if I may be so blunt, that's stupid. If the wind blows wrong on a Tuesday, a person who is 107 years old will succumb. So the idea that we're listing COVID, you know, fatalities that are 90, 95, 100 years old, I just read another one a couple of days ago. The idea that we're somehow aghast over somebody passing away from a COVID-19 virus that's 100 years old, that's just silly. I'm sorry, but it's just silly.
You know, whoever she is, wonderful lady, 107, what a rich life. For me, you're quite right. If a child of 12 dies, that's a tragedy because
that's
right. Lost 80 years.
That's right.
Somebody of 107, they have contributed to the nation. They've done great stuff. But the reality is, we shouldn't allow this to happen. We've got all the knowledge. This is the best country in the world, for heaven's sake. We have all the most remarkable tools to prevent this. So I'll tell you, I don't like one bit the way the economy has been disrupted. We've got to open it up again. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. But we also, the real tragedy will come if we don't learn from this. And we learned enough, but not perfectly from SARS and H1N1. We should have incorporated that, let the medical doctors get on with it, and allow the national strength of our health system to deal with it. So for me, I agree with you. Let's get everybody back.
I think that's what we should have done from the beginning, because our health system is as taxed as it was in New York City at a couple of points, in Detroit, in yep. South Florida now.
Yep.
We still have not overwhelmed our health system. The point was to flatten the curve, not flatten America. Or maybe the point was to flatten America from some political points of view. But to flatten the curve, we did. It didn't say eliminate cases of COVID-19. It just said we'll have just as many cases over a longer period of time. And if governors in New York, Michigan, New Jersey, and elsewhere had not ordered COVID-19 positive patients into nursing home facilities, our death rate would have been significantly lower. Doctor, it's been a great conversation. I will give you the last word. You got a minute if you want it.
No, Steve, it's terrific talking to you. You know, the way that this is going to be, we're going to win against COVID is exactly the kind of debate you and I are having. So thank you for the time.
I greatly appreciate it. A lot to learn here. And again, for anybody listening, you want to hear it again, stevegruber.com. The podcast will be there shortly. And, Doctor, I appreciate your time and your insight, and I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Bye-bye now.
There you have it, Dr. Jeremy Levin. You know, could a vaccine change everything? Yes, but, of course, you'll have people that won't take the vaccine. I'm somebody who has taken vaccines and not fearful of them, but some people don't like the idea. Some people believe that there could be something nefarious behind it. Not to mention that Fauci and Gates will get rich off of it. That's just irritating as an aside to all of that. At any rate, 51 after. Good conversation, right? Drop me a line. Tell me what you think. SteveGruber.com or go to the Facebook page right now. Click like. We're almost at 35,000. We're going to break it today with your help. Steve Gruber on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Protecting Michigan's waters is critically important. So is providing the energy that fuels Michigan's quality of life. A tunnel for Line 5 is the right solution. Enbridge is committed to building this underground concrete tunnel housing Line 5 deep under the Straits of Mackinac. This means multiple layers of protection, virtually no chance of a leak into the Great Lakes, no possibility of an anchor strike, and no interruption to the energy that Michigan needs. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Line 5 Tunnel.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over a million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan